Previously on Describe Your Kill.
You didn't clean yourself up before leaving? That's very unlike you.
It was a long night.
Oh, God.
Just hear Groldo hammering away all evening.
Are they friends of yours?
No, they're most certainly not. If they're the same group that we keep running into, then they keep trying to, well, kill us.
Important question. Are there reverse centaurs, which are like the top half of a horse but the bottom half of a man?
Do you like dried meat? Do you like to suck on it until your mouth drools on the floor?
Aaron places the wondrous figurine on the ground.
You now have manifested for the first time Claude the Elephant. This card is called the Silent Hag.
Remember, folks, describeyourkill.com. It's the most professional podcast going.
Hi everyone, Craig here. I hope you are well. I can't believe we are on episode 25 already. As promised, I've put together a quick recap of the story so far. Feel free to skip this, but I felt as we approach the end of chapter 2 that it might be useful to some of you, and let's be honest, the players too. So, let's get this going. All those weeks ago, our four heroes, unknown to each other, awoke with a strange and powerful Harrow card in their possession, sharing a vision which led them all to three moves ahead in Absalom's Grand Bazaar. After awkward introductions, they enter the shop to find a dead woman and two demons ransacking the place. These demons try to obtain more information about the cards, but are swiftly dispatched. Searching the shop, we find another one of these Harrow cards, as well as a journal that pointed towards a certain D. Ralmernees, owner of the Harrow Barrow, who Hadjek, the shop's owner, thought D. Ral might have more information on these cards. This led to us prodding the Pathfinder influence system with three local shopkeepers, Arhan Benny Meyer,
Eric and Ash,
and Clearmouth Falk. Putting together the clues, this eventually leads to a forge outside of the Grand Bazaar called Stirrup and Barding. There was, of course, an attempt from a group of mercenaries to steal the cards from the PCs, ending with Wilhelm murdering poor Belinda. Upon reaching the forge and saying hello to the mysterious donkey outside, we meet a very scared D-Ral who has been hiding up, as he also has a new Harrow card in his possession and believes he is being pursued. Shortly after this meeting, though, more mercenaries, as well as a tiefling and a fireball-throwing invisible demon show up for the end of Chapter 1's combat, where Wilhelm gets called out by this demon. D'Ral shares that he believes these cards belong to the Deck of Destiny, either a very old or very new, certainly very powerful relic. He hands over his card, and in doing so, has united six cards from the Deck of Destiny, one from each of the suits, which in turn causes another shared vision and an understanding between our heroes that a new reality has been created, the Harrow Court. Stepping through the magic portal, our heroes find themselves on a new plane of reality centered around Harrow Heart, a castle which sits in the middle of this new realm. It's worth noting that each of these Harrow cards also has a unique epitome which seems to influence or change areas within the Harrow Court, such as Groldo's workshop or the Rabbit Prince's domain. The Harrow Court does have its own inhabitants, the butler, Milton, Sire, for one, but these people do not quite seem fully human or fully aware of what is going on. They appear to know the heroes, but are unable to answer more philosophical questions with any meaningful detail. Within the Grand Hall of Harrow Heart, of course, are six portals, one for each suit, that our heroes instinctively feel will lead to the vicinity of another card from the Deck of Destiny. This led to the mini-adventures we're on now, including the Tengu Plains battle with Skornak, the Vampire Naga, and of course, Sidisarax the Cloud Dragon. Whilst there are still many unanswered questions, mainly around why is this happening to them, our heroes are slowly discovering that they are not the only ones searching for these cards. A group known as the Band of Blades, led by someone called Drustan, keep showing up in or around these same locations. So that's where we continue tonight's session, within the fifth portal, having just located the Silent Hag. And that's it for now, everyone. Hope that was helpful. Thank you so much for listening. As always, find us on describeyourkill.com. But please enjoy episode 25 of The Death of Destiny. Welcome back, everybody, to Describe Your Kill!
Oh my god! Noises!
Noise and excitement. I have just one day away from watching the amazing Dune Part 2. Has anyone else seen it yet?
Yes, I've seen this weekend.
You saw it, Kimon?
Yeah.
What did you think?
Very good. I'm just disappointed there's no...
Yeah, there was a slight change. No spoilers. Of course, we might have to mute that, actually. come on. In Germany, did you... I don't know if you saw on social media the Dune popcorn bucket that's been doing the rounds.
I was so disappointed that it wasn't
Did you manage
available.
To get your dick on one?
No. No. I didn't even manage to get my hand in one, man.
Oh, no.
Get him.
Wonderful films. Going to check that out. How's everyone doing this evening?
Good, thank you.
Fine and well.
Yeah, fantastic. So I'll tell you a little story. I was at a friend's house at the weekend, just gone, having a little Sunday fun day. So me and my stepson and him and his stepson. We don't like to breed our own children. We just like to
collect them. Like tarot cards.
Don't you know?
Anyway, so we're having a board game day and it's got this Dungeons and Dragons. Boo! Dungeons and Dragons. What's the game called? I can't remember. But it's like a mini board game version for 10 plus.
Cluedo?
Age 10 plus. It's no, not Cluedo. No, it's actual board game. There are little
Is it
tiles.
The little dungeon builder Beginner. Thing with the cards.
Right, I'm gonna find it. It's called Dungeons and Dragons Adventure Begins.
Yes,
I want to have a little look at that.
You're welcome, Wizards of the Coast. We know you're struggling these days, so here's a free shout out.
So, Dungeons and Dragons Adventure Begins is you choose a character, and there are, I think, four classes, but there are two variations and all these cards. And you lay out the tiles. And there's dice involved, so I took my big dice bag, and so the kids were super excited about choosing their D20, which is the only dice they kind of need to roll. And then each of the cards...
Uncle Craig, why do these all have 20 on them?
Yeah, I know, I had that one. I kept that, because I was still the GM, so... Yeah. I kept that one. And the reason I bring it up, last week we met centaurs. Everyone remember the centaurs?
Yes.
Remember the centaurs?
The Irish centaurs.
How could we forget?
How could we?
Now, somebody asked a question, it might have been Jason, who asked, is there such a thing as a reverse centaur that has the head of a horse and the body of a man? Remember that?
I recall no such
I
thing.
I do. I recall that.
During the third dungeon of the Dungeons & Dragons Adventure Begins board game, came a monster. Now, let me send you the picture of what this is, and we will
that
put this in the Discord.
Like this.
That looks like this. And I could not fucking believe it when this creature came out.
Was it gone?
Because lo and behold, this is in WhatsApp. Lo and behold, out of the monster deck came the reverse
incredible.
Excellent news.
I genuinely, hand on heart, no idea that existed. That wasn't sort of something I was like making an inside joke or anything. No. I genuinely had no
it's
idea that was a thing.
It's literally called a reverse centaur.
That's the first ever well-designed D&D monster.
I could not believe it when it came out. And I was,
God.
Grab a picture of the reverse centaur that has a fabulous mane of hair, little arms, and then human legs wearing boots. We shall post that on the Discord. So there you go. The reverse centaur is canon, at least in the world of D&D.
Why the long face? Why the long face? Wee. Classic.
All right. So as, of course, someone, maybe myself, has done such a wonderful job of the recap, we're going to get straight into it this evening, boys. We are in Iobaria, where you have just completed the eyeball puzzle, covered in Lupin's blood from the gash on his hand with the sword cane, revealing the stone coffer that indeed has the silent hag inside it.
Did I not pick it up? Did I pick it up?
Which I think, just I think, get jumped instantly.
No, I think you did pick it up.
Do-do-do-do.
So, yes, boys, you managed to complete the puzzle, and it was, again, Malachi who opens the coffer. Did somebody take out the treasure? Because there was a bit of loot.
Yes. No. I've got them in the bag of holding.
Stealing them already.
So there were these 12 eye-shaped gemstones, and they are worth 50 gold each. I'm not sure I said that, so... Mm-hmm. Good little treasure haul. There was this eye of apprehension, and of course at the bottom of this stone coffer was the silent hag, and Malachi has said card in his hand. Over to you.
What does it say?
Well, it says that it's a picture of a hag on it. It doesn't say much else.
No, it's silent. I guess
it's silent.
It doesn't say anything.
And by that I mean, what does this card do?
Just... Chris, do you want to read the silent hag?
I think that's what you're trying to get at, yes. I thought that was Aaron talking to Malachi then for a bit. He genuinely wouldn't.
No, it was. And I foolishly remembered that I should never engage Malachi in conversation.
Idiot.
Aaron's learned his lesson.
Oh, it's a good start.
The silent hag represents insight, treacherous secrets, and strife. As long as you have the silent hag invested, it grants you a +2 item bonus to arcana, nature, occultism, or religion checks to recall knowledge. When you invest the card, choose which one of the four skills gains the bonus. You can change the skill by investing the card again. This increases to a +3 item bonus if you're at 17th level.
That's right, so a +2 item bonus to arcana, nature, occultism, or religion checks for recall knowledge, but you get to choose which of those four gains the bonus.
But this is the cool part.
Yes, indeed. So go ahead and read us the 3-action envision activation that the silent hag has, Malachi.
You choose to lose one of your senses and gain another until you use the activation again. Choose from one of the following. Your eyes are replaced by dark pits that see only death. You become blinded and gain life sense, an imprecise sense, out to 60 feet. Life sense allows you to see the vital essence of living and undead creatures, distinguishing between the positive energy animating living creatures and negative energy animating undead creatures, much as sight distinguishes colours.
So yes, this is a once per hour, I should say. So the first one, the first choice is... Your eyes can be replaced by dark pits, basically becoming blind, but gaining life sense to 60 feet. Second one, Malachi.
Your ears close up, then become covered with hairs that are sensitive to movement. You become deafened, but you can't be flanked.
Hairy ears.
Oh. Hairy ears.
Yeah.
Go with your hairy toes, Jace.
Jason, not Lupin.
Lupin.
Jason, not Lupin. No, it's true.
And this always got furry socks on.
And the whole party might want this one. The whole party might want this one. Your mouth seals over with flesh. You lose the ability to speak, but you do not need to breathe.
So
that's so weird.
So you can ignore inhaled effects, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes. No inhaled effects. No
or
breathing.
Stop.
If you're swallowed whole, you could spend your turn to activate that and lose the ability to speak. But you get to choose once per hour to lose one of your senses and gain either 60-foot life sense to become deafened but unflankable, or you then lose the ability to speak but do not need to breathe. How cool is that card?
That is pretty cool.
Ridiculous.
That's pretty cool.
Unfortunately, you can't cast it on anyone else. Like, you know, it might be something that you want to cast on Malachi to
So you just have to have the card in your possession to activate it, don't you?
Yes, that is true.
There's just always, Malachi, quick, there's poison in the air!
It'd be fun if Malachi's mid-combat and casts this the flesh one on himself, cancelling all of his ability.
Yeah.
Is life sense an imprecise sense?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
So everyone, how does that work mechanically?
I'm guessing because you're blinded, everything would be hidden.
Correct.
But every living or undead being would be instead concealed. But you can also sense them through walls, I believe.
Reading imprecise sense, you can usually sense a creature automatically with an imprecise sense, but it has the hidden condition instead of the observed condition. But it might be undetected by you if it's using stealth. But with life sense, you're going to be able to tell if there are living or undead. So currently we're pre-remaster, so I think this might change a little bit. We'll have to adjust. Positive and negative energy you will be able to detect. Now, there is quite a lot of discussion on the forums around the ability to use life sense, say, through a wall or through
a door.
Didn't
we have this discussion in the last adventure?
I cannot remember, Kimonis.
Yes,
we did.
With the double doors and stuff.
Yeah. You said, can we do it under doors, wasn't it, basically? Yeah.
So we'll play it by ear a little bit, depending on how much it's used or not. But I don't want to gimp the card. I would rather it's actually used. But it is a very cool card with a very cool ability.
The also thing, it doesn't say how, does it just go for the hour? Or is it just, is
there a time constraint on it? I think you can change it once per hour and then...
You can change it once per hour, but I guess...
You've got it, is it? That's it.
Wait, so are you stuck with the effect for the hour then?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that you can also spend 3 actions to return to normal, if you like.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
That seems better.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I don't think you're permanently
disfigured
in some sense. So, no, I'll say that it's once per hour you can do it. It lasts until you want it to within reason. I guess, again, we'll have to see, play by ear. But just some really cool things that you can do there, which you currently can't, I guess. So Malachi is currently holding the card. Malachi, what do you or what do the rest of you do when Malachi tells you this?
As Malachi holds up the what is it now, silent hag or mute hag?
It's always been the silent hag, so yep.
Why do I have the mute hag in my mind? That I think it was the mute one.
It was mute hag in PF1.
So as Malachi holds up the silent hag, Wilhelm kind of feels entranced by it in a way, and he feels a strange draw to it from within himself. It kind of feels like there's part of him that's not quite him that wants to have that card.
Oh, and, so creepy.
And he takes a step toward Malachi and says, can I hold it for a second?
Yeah. You're a bit weird. Yeah, go on then. And hands it over.
You're a bit weird.
You're looking at me a bit weird.
Looking at someone and go, you're a bit weird.
Yeah, you're a bit weird, aren't you, man? Yeah.
You're looking a bit weird at me. Go on, Ed.
And he doesn't even respond. He just has the card in his hand and just looks at it.
Are you all right?
Yes, I think I feel a strange connection to this card. I don't know if any of you feel it.
No more so than any of the other cards. I feel connected to all of them. But are you feeling a connection in a good way or a negative way? And Aaron is thinking back to where you have... I'm thinking of the incident of Belinda.
Poor Belinda.
And the how the darkness kind of overtook you. Early on in the Grand Bazaar. Is that the kind of energy we're getting from you at this point, or is it?
It's tough to tell. And Wilhelm says it as much. He's like, he says, to be honest, I'm not sure. I just feel like this card, it draws me in a way, if it makes sense. I feel like I'm in some way connected to it.
I'm fine with if you want to have it, but if you do, I would just make sure that it's you in control of the card and not the other way around. And if you can promise me that that's what's going on, then I'm comfortable.
And he shoots a quick look at Lupin.
Lupin has sort of been watching quite carefully and will sort of nod in agreement with Aaron. Yes, we should take into account that we don't fully understand the power these cards hold and the power they may hold over us. We should treat all of this with some healthy caution, I believe.
Yes, you're right. You're right, Lupin. As soon as I sense anything being off, I promise to tell you. I don't know. It feels right to hold it. If you get what I mean.
Yes, of course. And as long as you do tell us, we want to know. Let us help you.
So Wilhelm takes the Silent Hag. The fifth portal's card now claimed. Wilhelm, I think you now have three cards in your possession.
Yes, three cards.
Fantastic. Right. So, you, of course, just as a reminder, you are in Iabaria. You are by this stone structure that you have managed to open. And as the coffer came out of this small niche within it, the eye rolled back and any blood that was spread across this design that's shaped like an eye boulder has now dried and flaked almost immediately.
I think, bearing in mind, you know, there was evidence that there'd been some attempt to interfere with the eye.
Mm.
I think Lupin would be quite keen that we get a move on, and sort of we'll say as such. Gentlemen, if we've done everything we need to here, perhaps it is it's time that we take our leave. We should consider that, as far as we know, we are not alone in this particular region.
Yes, I mean, we were obviously on the trail of some people that arrived before us, and I feel lucky that we haven't run into them yet. But Aaron is probably feeling internally a little bit anxious, like Lupin, that we might be about to get jumped. I think I said this last week after we finished recording, Indiana Jones style, we've just got the treasure and they're going to be waiting outside.
Yes, indeed. If they were unable to defeat the trap through physical means, it stands to reason that an alternative tactic may be to wait for someone else to fix it and then take it by force.
As you're discussing this, everybody roll survival checks for me, please.
I was going to say perception.
So good at survival. Just so good at it.
20 for Aaron.
I'm guessing I don't hear any trumpets.
You don't hear any trumpets, no?
A 26 for Wilhelm.
That's a 7 for Lupin. So good at survival.
Wait, a 7 total, Jason?
A 7 total. That's how bad I am at that.
Okay, damn. Malachi, do you want to roll a survival check?
Yeah.
For me?
A natural 1 for 15.
Still better than Lupin, though.
Yes!
Yeah.
That's still better than Lupin, but the only person that actually passed was Wilhelm. Wilhelm, you do notice, just with your survival instincts, perhaps, maybe not that well honed, but enough that you can spot the quite clear trail of footsteps that lead away from the hillside that you are at in a northerly direction over the nearest hill.
Guys, do you see these footsteps? And he kind of points at them.
I'm going to be honest with you, Wilhelm. No. No, I don't.
They look like hooves to me.
What kind of footsteps are they? Are they humanoid?
Clearly humanoid.
Okay. It seems like whoever's been here has gone north. I have no idea what lies toward the north, but I suggest we either go check it out or we leave now.
Indeed. My personal instinct would be we have what we came for. We do not know how many others there are, and we do not know to what extent they are equipped.
There seems to be no sense in chasing what would almost certainly be a confrontation of sorts.
I mean, I still think we can take them, but... I'm with you, Lupin. We've got what we want. We don't need to hang around here for any more trouble.
I think my only thought is that we always seem to be on the back foot with these groups or whoever they are that just keep turning up. They're always one step ahead. Now we might have the advantage that they don't know that we know where they are, you know? What I'm saying?
You know that we know that they don't know that we know.
That's a six. That's a 16 on my will save.
Plans within plans.
I know I was I was always, you know, trained for fighting and not for planning. But I think we have to keep in mind that this group has never been confrontational with us. This is not the same group, as far as we know, that attacked us back in Absalom. And I don't know. I think
remember that they left Arashish and his men dead. And
yes,
they'd already had a hard life. So
yes,
and you believe are right. They were wearing the same symbols. That would be quite the coincidence.
You are right about Arashish, but to give them the benefit of the doubt, we only heard his perspective.
He was a bit shifty, wasn't he?
He was kind of confrontational, let's be honest. We don't know what he said to them. And the centaurs happened to, you know, not have a confrontation with them. I just want to say it could prove useful to at least have a chance to speak with them, to at least, I don't know, get some information or something.
Who are you and what have you done with Wilhelm?
This card has opened my mind. I can't even see you right now. His eye sockets are just empty.
He's got dark bits. He's got dark bits from eyes. Yeah. Love it.
Hear me out. They're after the cards. Maybe it's another party. Like, maybe it's us, but maybe it's a different dimension. I mean, we've been through some weird shit over the last sort of, you know, couple of days.
Are you suggesting that they're us just with goatee beards?
I mean, as if it's not out of possibility.
Bloopin.
Balakai.
That's where Stilton has gone. Oh my god.
Stilton, he's came through the portal.
It's a different dimension.
He was summoned from the barrow hard.
I mean, it stands to possibility, you know, they couldn't get this trap, you know, in another dimension. We might not be as intelligent as we are now.
Malachi, I hope for your sake you're wrong on that one.
It is pretty far-fetched, Malachi, but...
I mean, it's pretty far-fetched that we ended up in our heart, like...
Yeah, let's be honest, we can't rule anything out right now.
My little brain can't comprehend it, so...
Should we keep discussing for another 3 hours and then... and then still decide to leave? Or should we just decide now?
I think that we might not get another opportunity like this to at least go and investigate. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? At least if we get the drop on
them. There could be 12 of them and they kill us.
But what I'm saying is, Mr. Mellis, they don't know that we... You know what I'm trying to say? They don't know.
We
might be able to find out some information, and if it does look like they're going to outnumber us, then, well, we just... look into one of our cards and jump through our portal and go back home. Just like we're planning to do now. It can't hurt to have a look.
But they said it was a couple of days ago that they were here. They could have been long gone. If they're like us, then they've jumped portals again. And we just don't know, Aaron. I mean, I get it that you don't... Like, we could go and have a look. But, you know, there could be all sorts out there getting to them. Or they could already been gone.
How recent do the footsteps seem...
Ooh, that's going to be another survival check.
Okay.
I'll have a look at that too.
I'm not even going to upset everyone by wrong.
Wilhelm, I would say that
Malachi still doesn't know.
No, Malachi still doesn't know with an 18. Wilhelm's good enough. 34. You think that these are pretty recent. If you had to guess, and it would be a guess, you think within the last possibly 12 to 24 hours maximum.
That these are fresh. These are fresh.
Yes, these are fresh footprints.
Maybe a day old. I'm just saying, it feels like an opportunity. I know I'm naive and I'm new to this, and I sometimes say the wrong thing, and I know that this might be one of those times where I'm just not thinking clearly, but it just seems like it's been presented to us, and I'll just go with the group, but that's what I think.
It sounds like we put this to a vote. Ayes versus the nays, and I'm afraid I am very much in the nay camp. This feels like an unnecessary risk to me.
Okay, so the party have reached a crossroads.
As Lupin suggests that Wilhelm gets, I don't know, he's been unwell this whole time, and he tries to sort of lean on the rocks. Edgar, can we hurry this up a bit, please?
Right, so all of those in favour of investigating, say aye.
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 Aye, maybe.
You changed your position again, Chris.
No, just wait. He's gonna say nay as well.
All of those in favour of not investigating, say nay.
Nay.
My cat just answered.
The cat doesn't want to go.
No. It is decided.
And we know what curiosity did to the cat, so he knows what he's fucking talking about.
He knows what he's talking about.
That's good, Jason.
I'm confused, but maybe Aaron has got a point. I think we should go and have a look, see what's there. If it's... I'm in two minds, but I'm leaning towards Aaron now. I am. My vote is with Aaron.
Love it. I love it. Oh,
so just for clarity.
Lupin, I think you're right, but my vote's with Aaron.
Yes, I'm
glad we've cleared that up. I think you were right, but I'm voting against you.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, fine.
Aaron is a yes. Lupin's a no.
Right. Do you want to go and investigate, Lupin?
That'll be a nay from me.
Aaron.
Aye.
Malachi.
Aye.
Wilhelm.
Aye. Aye.
Three ayes. The eyes to the have
left.
It.
Eyes to the left.
I can see Jason is furious, but the eyes finally
I don't even know what's happening anymore.
He's
just
happy to have gotten this over with.
Exactly. I'm angrier that we've...
Taken
this fucking long to decide.
Aaron, are you taking the lead here? Now that you've got your eyes?
Yeah, because I got the highest on the survival check, didn't I? So I can see the trail.
You can, yes.
Aaron is also very self-conscious because he doesn't want Lupin to be mad with him, so he's avoiding his gaze. And he goes, right, I think it's this way. Malachi, maybe you could just come with me up front and we can help me keep track of the footprints.
Aaron leads the way away from the stone carving of the Silent Hag, following the footsteps that appear reasonably fresh in the ground. And again, you are in this quite barren wilderness, rolling hills, distant landscapes that you can see to. But you head to the north, which does become slightly hillier. And after a couple of hours or so, as you approach one of the larger hills, occupied with scrubland grasses, as you near the top, you hear distantly a bellowing roar.
How far is this roar?
You can't really see from where you are. So maybe a few hundred feet. Maybe less.
Can we try to recognize the roar?
Does anyone know what that creature is?
Has anyone got roar lore?
Raw lore.
Raw lore. So
actually, specific. Yeah, I'm a master in that, yeah.
Okay, roll. No. It sounds humanoid, Wilhelm.
Okay.
A humanoid
roar.
Did not
expect that.
Yeah, you hear from the distance this kind of roar. Everybody roll perception checks. Let's go with that.
Does it sound like a war cry?
Yeah, so it definitely sounds like angry. And actually, who rolled a 30? Lupin with a 30.
Lupin rolled a 30.
You can also hear other voices which sound far more regular human, if you like. You can hear definitely sounds of some kind of roaring and shouting.
Could this be the centaurs fighting?
It could be a lot of things. It could be a barbarian raiding party, for all we know. We should, if we're determined to approach, we should do so with significant caution.
Should I stealth ahead? I can turn myself invisible.
I think that's probably a good idea.
I dare say is splitting the party would not be a fantastic idea at this point. We should not discount the fact that invisibility is a spell, and spells can be dispelled.
Okay, well, maybe let's move forward and with being as stealthy as we can.
Wilhelm draws Sidisirax.
Malachi keeps quiet.
So you stealthily crawl to the top of the hill.
Yeah, so basically, are we one side of a hill, and on the other side of it, we can hear this noise, so we're climbing the hill to the kind of crest.
Exactly, yeah. Maybe not the noise sounds does sound quite far away, probably listening to it not as close as just on the other side of this lip of the hill, if you like, the crest, but certainly close, yeah.
So I guess we have the advantage coming up the hill, being able to stay not being low. Able to be seen. Yeah, stay low. Okay, so yeah, I think Aaron will want to move forward, stealthing up the hill.
So you climb to the top of the hill stealthily, crouched down in these grasses, and as you come over the lip, you very quickly spot about 200 to 300 feet away in a copse of rocks a huge giant with rotting skin, dressed in black and at least 20 feet tall, surrounded by two human men, regular sized, also dressed in black, engaged in a bloody combat. Several human bodies already litter the blood-soaked floor around these rocks. The giant is wielding a flail, and he is whipping it out at these humans who are doing their best to attack and fight. What do you do?
We need to help them. They're getting pulverized by that giant.
We don't know that, Aaron. We don't know whether they're which way round it is.
Yes, I dare say, while your instincts are noble, is this is not our fight.
How far away are they?
So the distance is easy to gauge. The hill actually descends, but not too far. It's almost like a higher sort of level of altitude from the top of the hill. Looking down over this barren wilderness, you've got a really good field of view from where you are. You can see that you could get a bit closer to the action where there is slightly more vegetation and foliage to create a natural barrier. They're probably about 2 to 250 feet away. If you were to go down the hill and get closer to it, then they would be maybe 50, 60 feet away from you.
I mean, I suppose my argument there would be we can see quite comfortably what's going on from this far away. Is there really much need to get any closer if we aren't planning on getting involved, or is that the point? Are we planning on getting involved?
Well, can we see if the people, are they struggling in this fight against the giant?
So it seems quite cagey. There's at least two other bodies on the floor. These two are wielding javelins and are kind of stabbing at the giant. The giant appears to be wounded on his chest. There is black blood pouring from a wound. The other two humans that are fighting him don't appear to be visibly injured, but it's all quite cagey.
Does he look like the two giants that we saw earlier?
He does not look like the giants you saw earlier, no.
So he also doesn't look like the same kind of giant?
Almost certainly not, no.
Actually, okay. Yeah, could I recall
knowledge?
Can we
do recall knowledge?
Yeah. Yes, that's going to be a secret society check, please. Aaron, you and you alone recognize this creature as a plague giant.
No, I've seen this. I've seen this in my studies. It's a plague giant. What do I know about these creatures?
Unlike the tiger giants you saw earlier. These creatures are rasping behemoths, weeping sores, fetid breath, and filthy fingernails, all bearing a terrible, wasting disease. These are monstrosities.
No, these are great blights upon any land. We can't risk leaving these people to fight it alone. Can we at least move a little bit closer just to see if they need our help?
I'm in.
Wilhelm's already started closing the distance.
Yeah, Aaron's with him.
My concern is we don't know whether we're simply watching a fight between two evils, and Lupin realizes he's already talking to the backs of everyone else.
Wilhelm, Malachi, and Aaron descend down the hill to get a better look.
Lupin just sort of
Lupin's like, what he really must consider is.
Yeah, Lupin just sort of sighs and shakes his head and considers his life choices as he sort of begins to follow them.
As you descend down the hill and you see a natural dip in the topography, there is more bushes that you can actually hide behind. That's going to put you 50 to 60 feet away. Everybody roll perception checks again, please. Lupin makes his way to the back.
31.
Puffing and puffing. 31 for Aaron.
29.
Ooh, that's a rare good roll. That's a natural 16 for 37 for Lupin.
Malachi should be the one at the back. He's getting 23.
Malachi at the back. So you manage to get down in this scrubland, and the fight is clearly reaching its crescendo, because as you peer through the bushes only 50 feet away, one of the assailants gets audibly crushed as the giant steps on them, bones cracking as viscera erupts from the now dead man. The remaining combatant manages to loose an arrow deep into the upper groin of the giant as it roars in pain and anger, black blood spurting in a tsunami of gore. The giant staggers, but with a last ditch attempt, grabs the man in a huge gnarled hand and squeezes. You hear the cracking of bones as the giant falls to its knees, clearly dying from his grievous wound. And in its death throes, the giant launches the man 50 feet up through the air, directly towards where you are hiding. Everybody roll reflex saves.
Oh, yes.
That's a 37 for Lupin.
37 for Wilhelm as well.
26.
23.
Malachi, the body comes flying through the air and lands on top of you, dealing 38 points of bludgeoning damage.
Big.
As this final human, as the giant falls dead on his knees, this black blood erupting and lands flat on Malachi, sending him prone. The man is very, very badly hurt, but he is alive.
I'm hugging him as he's like bashed into me, and I've got him on the ground with me.
Heal me, I'm gonna die, you fuckers.
I mean, we've only just met.
Lupin would like to fairly urgently check the guy's clothing to see if he has a feather token on him.
Lupin, you don't even need to roll, because there on his left breast is a steel feather token.
Well, hang on. I ain't healing you. You got one of these feather tokens on you.
Malachi, you're still underneath him.
Oh, so he's... Okay.
He's landed on you.
I'm a bottom. I'm a bottom, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's not yes. canon.
Yes, you're bottom.
I'm bottom. Okay. Fine.
You don't get much choice with a two-headed ogre.
I pat him down and I feel the feather.
He's panting, grievously wounded.
Wilhelm kind of puts his... Okay, Wilhelm kind of grabs him under his arms and pulls him up from Malachi.
Malachi comes up with him as well.
Yeah, kind of holds him there and says, that depends on what you can tell us about the Band of Blades.
He spits in your face, Wilhelm.
I'm holding him from behind his back.
Like, he spits in Aaron's face, Wilhelm.
It's a trick spit.
I'm sorry, Aaron. I didn't know he would do that. As he lets the guy kind of drop to the floor, putting up his hands. I'm sorry, Aaron. I didn't mean to.
As he lays on the floor, he looks up at you, Wilhelm, and says, "A blade ain't talking for no pig fucker like you."
Looks over at the guys. May I?
Well, wait. I think we should try and get something out of him first.
Aaron kneels down and touches his staff to the dying man. And he says, "Tell us what you know. Tell us why you've been hunting us and hunting our cards, and we will save your life. I promise we will let you go in peace." And he casts Suggestion.
Ooh.
So this is an incapacitation spell. So if certain rules will apply, making it much harder to cast this spell and get a decent result. However, the description of it is that my honeyed words are difficult for creatures to resist. So if I suggest a course of action to the target, it must be phrased in such a way to seem logical to them. So it can't be self-destructive or against their self-interest. So obviously I've said, just tell us what you know. We will save your life and we'll let you go in peace. He's dying and he knows that. So this in my mind seems logical. And he must roll a will save.
Okay. 29.
Is a fail. So with incapacitation, if any creature is more than twice the spell's level, so this is a level 4 spell, so if he's level 8, is he level 8 or higher?
Higher, yeah.
So that then becomes a failure, I think. It becomes 1 degree worse.
No, 1 degree better.
1 degree better.
Sorry.
Him, yeah, 1 degree for better him.
For him. So it
becomes a success. Yeah. So he's unaffected, unfortunately.
So, and he...
Your gene pool could use a little more chlorine.
I'm asking you this one time to keep your mouth shut, and you may come out of this alive.
Whoa, hang on. What is it you said again, Aaron? How did you phrase your question?
I said, tell us what you know, why you've been chasing us and our cards, and we will heal your wounds and let you leave in peace.
Malachi echoes the question and also casts Suggestion.
The wounded man rolls a will save. 17.
That is a critical failure.
Oh my god.
Which makes it
a failure. So the target immediately follows my suggestion, and the spell has a duration of 1 minute, or until the target has completed a finite suggestion, or the suggestion becomes self-destructive or has obvious negative effects.
You see him fighting within him, this spell that's been cast, and he cannot resist it. He says,
"Trust and sent us to get the cards. We were sent here, but we couldn't find it. We've been following our orders, but I wasn't able to succeed this time."
Where are you based? Where is Drustan?
Drustan is out in Galarian, fetching his own cards.
Where are you based? Where is your center of operations?
You wouldn't know it, old man.
Your goes knowledge to another continent.
Your knowledge of Galarian is limited. The Band of Blades Holmes is the Storval Stairs.
Why is he hunting these cards?
We don't ask questions why. We don't care why. It's our job.
Are you mercenaries?
We are. We were. I fear my meeting with Pharasma has come.
Do you know anything about Belinda?
Belinda, no.
You're very much a individual selves of mercenaries, then. We don't know each other. You're not friends or anything, then.
Time is ticking.
I know that Drustan was angry when Varnev was killed in Absalom, so He's taken us out on different missions.
Vanev was killed.
The butcher, you mean?
Yes, Vanev the butcher. You know him.
You could say that, yes. We'd met. Lupin gives a somewhat told you so look to Wilhelm in particular.
Last I heard, Vanev and his assassins were killed in the Grand Bazaar. That's all I know.
How many of you were there? How many are left?
There were 5 of us come here. I'm the last. That plague giant killed us. We couldn't find the cart, so we came north hoping to find something else, but we couldn't.
So there are no others?
There were no others.
And he drops dead at your feet.
How unfortunate.
I'm kind of happy he got his release now. He didn't look good.
I didn't. No, sorry, I'm dead.
I haven't cast Reanimate Dead. Well, the butcher's dead.
Yes, we killed him, Malachi.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I shot him.
Wait, so dead. That guy was...
We didn't know that was him.
That guy was Vanev.
We never had that confirmed until now.
I thought we knew that.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I did not know that. Sorry.
I think you suggested that might have been him. But I thought that. So he was that I haven't got permission to enter.
Yes,
that
guy. I think.
Yeah. What?
Well, Lupin.
Lupin.
I guess you were ahead of us on that one. It would have been very nice of you to let us know if you were so sure.
I believe I've been saying for some time it was quite possible that the group that attacked us in the forge was potentially related to this group.
No, I don't mean that part. I don't mean that part.
But we'll save the told you so's for once we get back to Harrowheart unharmed, hey?
Yes. Do you guys think it would be disrespectful to check the bodies?
I dare say he won't be needing it.
The body, you mean?
I was going to say the possessions, but I mean, it depends what you want to do with the body. That's your own
business. No, that answer just raised some questions. I just wanted to make sure you're okay. No, let's just move on. Let's
fighters, reach. Man.
I think if we take their sort of their little pendants thing, then maybe they could come in handy later.
Yes,
just in case we have to infiltrate somewhere, it might help us.
Do they by chance carry any gold?
I dare say we probably shouldn't concern ourselves too much with honor with a gentleman like that.
So you loot the bodies amongst the five human bodies that are on the battlefield. You find a total of 400 gold between them within the giant's leather thong. You find what appears to be a wand.
Can I try to identify it, please?
You can. I have put the skill checks in chat. Aaron fails. Malachi fails. Lupin and Wilhelm, on the other hand, pass. You have found not a wand. You have found a rod of wonder.
Yes! Get in! Get in!
The best
we love
item.
A rod of wonder.
Now, if you do not know what a rod of wonder is, this is a item which is worth 465 gold, not that much. It is the only item in the game with a D100 roll.
I have never seen this item. I have heard of it.
So good.
I've never seen it.
Can I give it a bit of flavor? Because Midna had it. And on 2 occasions, so when the ship was leaving port, we cast it off the port bow as we were sailing off, and a load of jewels just flew out and hit the crowd. And then mid-combat, I can't remember what the combat was, but I cast it again, and a giant stag beetle just appeared in the middle of the room. I think grass started growing really quickly, just randomly.
Yeah, that was,
There are various effects. There's all sorts. There's spells, there's lightning bolts, there's darkness spells, there's stag beetles, there's gems, there's fireball, there's enlarge, but it's a D100 roll. Who wants the Rod of Wonder?
Rollies.
Rollies!
Let us please not give it to Malachi.
Rollies! Yes, give it to me!
I'm going to contest it solely to make sure Malachi doesn't get it.
Agent of Chaos, come on!
Anyone can use it, though. It's an activation. Yeah, anyone can cast it. A spell.
Of Chaos.
Have we got a four-way Rollies?
Yes!
Okay, so we'll go through party order and we'll call out the numbers. So let's go first with Aaron.
Okay, rolling. That is a 12.
Ooh,
Lupin.
Strong.
Oh, it's an 8.
Malachi.
I mean, the way I've been rolling.
Natural 19!
Oh, God! Yes! Oh! Come on!
No!
Best roll of the session so far.
Come on,
best
Wilhelm.
Roll of the session.
Natural 19. The narrative demands a 20 here. Wilhelm.
Best roll of the session. Come on.
I don't even want to roll, man. I don't. Yeah, yeah. 15.
Oh, 15. Malachi. Well earned, Malachi. Rod of Wonder.
It's not the plot device we wanted, but it's apparently.
It's the one that you're getting.
It is the one that we needed.
Oh, God.
It's okay, the one we deserved.
God have mercy on us.
Malachi, you've now acquired the Rod of Wonder. Would you like to try and use it?
And as Malachi picks it up, Wilhelm goes, Malachi, please be careful with that.
What is it?
It's if I remember correctly, I wasn't trained a lot in the way of the arcane, but I remember there being talk about a kind of artifact that there are very few of in this world, and this seems to be one of them. It has very strong impact on your surroundings, but it is unforeseeable what it will do when you activate it.
Yes.
Well, Phil, why don't we find out?
Malachi, no.
What?
Are you ready for the first character death, guys?
The Rod of Wonder is a tremendously powerful and tremendously unpredictable item. Is the effect you could end up summoning a mouse, you could end up casting a fireball at your feet. If we're going to play with these items, perhaps we should do it in a safer location?
Malachi, the Rod of Wonder calls to you in a soft, quiet voice in your ear. Do you wish to spend the two actions to activate it?
Of course I do!
And where do you point the Rod of Wonder?
down towards the bottom of the hill.
Out of spite.
No, not at any of my compatriots.
Malachi points the Rod of Wonder down the hill. Roll a D100, Malachi.
Oh, I've never done a D100 roll. 74.
Malachi. Nothing happens.
Oh, that's the worst.
That is the worst. It's a real anticlimax. But you feel like if you were to cast it on a target, you might be able to read their mind. But we shall move on from there. You have collected the silent hag. You have also learned a little bit more information from maybe one of the Band of Blades, maybe reaffirming Lupin's silent belief that Varn of the Butcher has already been slain in Absalom. What do you do?
Well, gentlemen, I dare say, are you happy now? Malachi has in his possession an item of unspeakable power.
Yeah, you say that, but nothing happened.
I dare say now would be a good time to return to Harrowheart while it's still here. It's still here.
And, thank you, Mr. Malice. I know you were unsure about coming this way, but I for one, am glad that we did. I think that was a very useful bit of information that we found out.
Lupin nods. Yes, well, risk and opportunity do tend to go hand in hand. I can't say I agree with the decision, but we've come out on the right side of it this time. So onwards and upwards.
And Aaron, from the giant's pouch, grabs two fistfuls of gold and chucks them to Lupin and says, oh, well, hopefully this softens the blow a bit.
What? He's chucking money at him.
There's 400 gold pieces. So I'm just like, you know.
On the floor in front of it.
Yeah.
Just buy yourself something nice.
Does Lupin pick it up? That's what I want to know. The humiliation. Does he pick it up?
No, just Lupin very much just sort of stares and just just stares at Eros like, what the fuck was that?
How about we divide this very easily divisible by four pile of gold by four?
Yes, I've distributed it 100 each.
Yes. Let us return to Arrowheart and never speak of that again.
Of what?
Well done.
No, honestly.
Fuck me. Right. Aaron draws a Harrow card from his pocket from the deck of destiny, manifests it, riffle me this, and you all step through the portal back into the Harrow court, back into Harrow Heart.
I assume we are. There are no significant changes.
You step back into Harrow Heart, and once again, the place does seem a little bit tidier, a little bit cleaner. Yeah, there is a general sense that Harrow Heart is returning to perhaps what was once its former glory. The fifth light round the portal, the mist, has disappeared. There is only one portal remaining on the northern wall of the Grand Hall. It is late at night. You've had a long day. What do you do?
Milton's been doing a good job, or we've been doing a good job.
Yes, I think... You may be onto something there, Malachi. Is it possible that these cards we are collecting are perhaps having some impact on the Harrow Heart?
Do we get an insight as to where the new card needs to be epitomized?
Ah, good question. But unfortunately, it's not in your possession, Aaron.
Well.
Yes.
Let me have a little look at that card.
Verum takes the card out and looks at it and looks at Malachi and puts it back.
Well, what does it do? Like, I saw what it does, you know. I felt it does. I felt its power. But with all the other cards, they've done something amazing.
I could try and harness its power if you wish to see it now. And Wilhelm turns toward the portal and tries to epitomize the silent hag.
Wilhelm, you draw the silent hag and you feel a slightly unsettling nature come over you. And you feel that towards the workshop areas of Harrow Heart, there is a place where the silent hag would feel far more at home than within the Grand Hall.
Wilhelm looks around and says, I know this seems out of the blue, but I think we should pay Graldo a visit. And, he starts going toward the workshop area.
Aaron will go with him.
Wilhelm, you make your way towards the workshop area, PCs perhaps following. You realize that this card is not pulling you in towards the workshop. It is further down the corridor. And as you approach, a large metal door opens into a small chamber that has manifested within Harrow Heart. Inside, you see an unsettling statue of a crouching, eyeless hag with an open mouth within this small chamber. And you instinctively know the mouth of this hag can accommodate a crystal ball. And any crystal ball placed within the mouth would become enhanced. But we won't get into all of that because we don't know what a crystal ball is necessarily. But be assured that it's to do with scrying and clairvoyance.
Mm.
And if you do have crystal balls, that they can be enhanced by placing them within the hag's mouth. Mm. Have you got any crystal balls?
Aaron, you seem to be the kind of guy to have crystal balls. You should place them.
Help me teabag this witch.
Does any one of you happen to have crystal balls that they want to place in this hag's mouth?
Oh, no. Silent teabag.
Chip gets to be very good at it as well.
Jason's face is just like that. My thought train there started with like Richard O'Brien and then ended up with like testicles.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for all the way through, like, thanks for clarifying. Oh, we're going to Crystal Maze. Crystal balls. Yes. Yeah. Oh, testicles. Great.
Is Richard O'Brien's head just getting wrinklier and wrinklier?
We have to keep, we'll have to keep an eye on this room to make sure Milton doesn't sneak in here every now and then.
Sire.
Oh, God.
Will you start the fans, please? So, crystal balls, just to give you a little bit of info about crystal balls. There are many different types, level 14, 15, 16, 17, 19. So, these are not cheap items. But a crystal ball, once in your possession, would allow you to scry, and it would allow you to perform the clairvoyance spell, which in effect is almost like a ring doorbell that you can send out 500 feet away from you and look through it. But at this stage, obviously, you don't have any crystal balls. This chamber has now appeared within Harrowheart.
What was the phrase that you taught me, Lupin? Fuck it, we ball. With this apply here.
It would depend on your intentions and your ambitions, and I suppose your levels of deviance. But I think in this particular case, it's maybe not the one I intended.
Now that you have manifested this new chamber within Harrowheart, what do you do?
Oh, it's been a day.
Yeah.
Time to go and get some shut-eye.
We'll go and rest.
Everyone want to go and rest?
And do we go tomorrow for the last portal? I mean, this one's the one I've been most excited about.
Yes, it's the theatre card through the next one, isn't it? I mean, that one sounds like it's made for you, Malachi.
Yeah.
Well, yes, it seems that we have a busy day ahead of us. Then, yes, let's make our way to our chambers and we shall pick this up in the morning.
So all of you then decide to rest for the night. In possession of the fifth card from Harrowheart, the Silent Hag, you have manifested this new chamber. You wake up. It is a new day. You meet down for breakfast, which you have eaten. Milton has served you.
Man, so close.
What would you like to do?
Well, I think we're all ready to go through the next portal, aren't we?
Yeah, we're on a roll right now. Let's
finish
move
this.
Forward. Yeah, as Wilhelm wakes up in the morning, does he feel better?
Wilhelm, you wake up in the morning and you do not feel better. You are still drained one. Your condition has not increased, but it certainly has not healed.
Wilhelm just looks around and says, I try to give it a day. It doesn't seem to get better. Ever since I've been bitten by that naga, I feel very, very, very weak and frail, kind of. I very much like to get rid of that, if that's possible.
We failed the medicine check last time. Can we do another one today?
Certainly can. Yep.
Okay. So, Aaron will... Oh, that was nearly an 18. That's 21. Don't think that's going to be enough.
Critical fail.
Can I hero point that?
Yes.
That's 30.
Fail.
As this was done by an undead creature, would religion also work?
I'll let you do a religion. Yep.
Ooh, that's a 31.
That is a fail.
I'm going to hero point that as well. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's way worse.
Oh, that was nearly a 19.
Wilhelm, yeah. Critical fail. You are still drained one. So yet again, with your failed medicine checks, you are not able to determine the cause of Wilhelm's drained condition. But Wilhelm, it doesn't appear to be getting any worse.
All right. It doesn't seem to get any worse, at least. You know, let's just go. Maybe it fixes itself. Let's just move forward. And he goes up to the portal and seems, you know, to just try to keep being positive.
Wilhelm, you step up to the final portal within Harrowheart. The sixth portal leads to the theatre card.
Do we see anything through the portal?
You certainly do. Whereas before you have seen through to barren landscapes, hilltops, aberrations patrolling the battlefield, this is far more... Well, I want to say civilized, but perhaps not. You peer through to what appears to be a small room And inside, strewn with empty bottles of wine and beer, are four passed out humanoid figures.
Malachi feels homesick.
Oh no!
Humanoid? Are they...
human, I should say. You're not human? Even humanoid, yeah.
Are they wearing anything distinctive that we can see, i.e. brooches? Or...
or steel tokens?
Yes, in fact,
steel tokens. No steel tokens. If you were to look through Aaron and guess, you would say that these are some kind of performers or actors.
Or Malika, they look like a troupe. Come on, should we step through?
I mean, this is my calling. And Malachi extends a hand to Aaron.
Aaron takes it.
Boom attacks.
You clasp hands and you step through the sixth portal from Harrow Heart into a room that contains four passed out figures, bottles of empty alcohol, maybe some kind of drugs on the table, but they are clearly all fast asleep.
Is it the morning?
There is light coming from a small window on the western wall.
So it looks like they had a bit of a rough night last night.
Can we identify some of the paraphernalia around?
Sure, yeah. Roll medicine or perception or alchemy.
Crafting. 18 for Malachi.
27 for Aaron.
33 for Wilhelm.
These are clearly bottles of booze, and Wilhelm, with your 33, there were clearly drugs on the side of the table. And these four humans that are passed out in various states of disrepair are all completely inebriated.
Are we in a tavern of sorts?
No, you're in a small room about sort of 10 to 15 feet square. A small door is in one corner of the chamber.
Aaron, do you think that... I mean, we're coming for the Harrow card, so do you reckon that it's in here somewhere? Can you do something to see if there may be in one of these pockets?
Yeah, Aaron casts Detect Magic.
Aaron, you do not detect any magic.
No, nothing in here. Maybe we can have a quick look out this door. Maybe there's a corridor. Get some sense of bearings and where we are.
Well, maybe I think we might have to try and wake these up first. I hope they're not dead or anything. Are they breathing or anything, Craig? Or are they literally just...
Malachi, you go and check the bodies. Out. They are definitely breathing, but they are certainly not conscious.
Malachi grabs the guy's face and slaps it.
And the man's face looks briefly, opens his eyes, blinks... and then collapses back into unconsciousness.
I feel that.
Aaron opens the door in the corner of the room.
Aaron, you try to open the door, and just as your hand reaches for the doorknob, it slams back in front of you, and there is a human woman, slightly disheveled, in her mid-40s, and she bursts into the room and says, "Malachi! What the fuck are you doing here? I haven't seen you in weeks. Where the fuck have you been?" There before you, Malachi, is your mother, Karen Bordello, and the curtain comes down.
Oh my god, it's coming.
Yes.
Wait, if she's mid-40s, how young is Malachi?
You've been listening to Describe Your Kill, The Death of Destiny. Find out more at describeyourkill.com. Thank you to Paizo, Michael Gelfie, Creator Chord, Sirenscape, Kevin McLeod, Foundry, and Sigil Services. Get all the links on our website. This podcast uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. This podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com.